We have the good news, and we are called to share it with others. Today on Better Together, we're learning how to put our faith into action. Victoria Osteen, Beth Redman, Brittany Borders, and Lindy Kofer are with me. Come on, we need to talk about it.
I remember one time I heard someone say, you know, when someone passes away, you hold on to the final words they say. Mm-hmm. When you know someone is nearing the end of their life, you're like holding on to every word they say. You know, anyone I've lost in my life, and you know, I've lost both my grandfathers and I've lost someone close to me. You remember those words. You recount. Yeah. What was their life like? What do I remember the most? And I remember when I was reading through Matthew once, and the Great Commission stuck out in a way it never had before, where I went, wait a minute, this is what you left the disciples with. Mm-hmm. These were your final words. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Surely I will be with you till the end of the age. Mm-hmm. And I just was like, these were your final words. Mm-hmm. And it also, I feel like, answers the cry in so many believers, because when you really encounter Jesus the Savior, you go, I'm ruined for the ordinary.
Yeah.
I can't just go back to life as normal. And that could look like whether you're a teacher, whether you're in the marketplace or ministry, something about your life changes when you meet Jesus. There is a sense of like, I'm on mission now. Like I was drowning and was rescued.
Purpose.
I was, yeah, there's the purpose that is birthed in your heart of, I have a meaning in life. I have a reason for waking up every day. And not just that, I understand why Jesus says make disciples, because it's not just about going and telling someone the gospel and going, do you want to be saved? Yes or no. But it's that aspect of discipleship where Jesus walked with the disciples. They did life on life. They sat around tables. They asked questions to Jesus. You know, they've seen Jesus heal the sick, raise the dead. And the question they asked him was, teach us how to pray. Mm. I was like, wait a minute. Why? They saw something about Jesus's prayer life where that's the question they asked him. It wasn't teach us how to raise the dead, teach us how to cast out demons. They've seen the life of Jesus and they say, teach us how to pray. And I go, Jesus made disciples in so many ways, but one way was his walk with the Father. He was unashamed of when it was time to pull away. And they're observing his life. And I think so much of discipleship is, yes, people observing our lives, because that is how Jesus did it, but he was also so intentional. Mm. And so I love this, as we're talking about who Jesus is, our stories, testimonies, and we talked about this in a previous conversation of the anointing and being empowered by the Holy Spirit. I have this burning in me in this hour of like, this is for every believer. Mm. One of our leaders in YWAM said recently, the hero of the hour is the everyday believer being activated in the love of Jesus and their everyday yes. And I feel like it gets me emotional because I'm like, this is it. Like there is not different levels of, you know, when we honor people's giftings and we honor where people have served the church and served faithfully and led the church, I'm not talking about a lack of honor. There is honor for where people have paid prices and served the Lord and it affecting the globe, you know, like all of you four sitting here, I honor like the gifts in you, but the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is for every single believer. And I go, if we want to see the Great Commission fulfilled in our day, it's not just going to be from pulpits. Mm-hmm. It's not just going to be from a microphone. It's going to be from the mom at home being activated to get her daughter and all her friends around a table. You know, that's what drew Beth and I together was she started drawing women around her table and I ended up around that table. And for me, it was such a beautiful picture of there was people meeting Jesus who won't ever go into a church maybe. But they knew they were welcome around Beth's table, right? And then suddenly their hearts are open to go to church.
I moved to California in 2016 and I knew just a couple of people and I couldn't have been more lonely. And I just sat there and I just waited for someone to invite me, just find friends somewhere and nothing happened. You know, they say to people who are in treatment for addiction, they say, go and serve someone 3 times today. If you want to overcome something, sometimes it starts with doing something for someone else. And I wanted to overcome loneliness. Honestly, it was as simple as that. So I just prayed and I was like, Lord, would you just show me who to invite to my home? And show me who to invite to this table. And the Lord gave me a few names. And the crazy thing was, each woman that I invited to my table was like, I've been praying about this. I really believed I was meant to come and spend time at this table. I mean, so it felt like, oh my goodness, this is way beyond loneliness. This is about God creating community, and not just community to sit, but actually for iron to sharpen iron. So honestly, it started with something really painful and it ended up with something so fruitful. And I just decided to always do it. So it didn't matter what was going on in my life. And there's been some things. Monday at 7, I'm going to invite people to my house. I'm going to invite people to bring someone. Maybe a new person might come. It's like God is always doing something beautiful around that table. So it's been one of the most fruitful things in my life.
And so I think there is this beautiful invitation in our purpose and our mission as followers of Jesus of how can I not give away what I have received, and that, you know, brings you to that scripture, freely received, we freely give.
Yes.
And I just go, that is, I feel, the essence of our, a primary essence of our walk with Jesus. But I kind of feel like God's reawakening that in the church right now a little bit. I don't know what you guys would say about that, but I feel there's been this, I'll go and have the privilege of leading worship in so many different spaces. And I feel like everyone's using this language of like wanting to share their faith again, or just kind of that fear of man getting broken off. And of course, there's the category of us being activated as the everyday believer. But then there's also this whole thing of there are still people who have never heard the name of Jesus. And even just praying for this conversation and how the Holy Spirit wants to lead us, I just went, I am praying that the church would, because we're all aware of it, we all know it, but they were like, I'm just like, that we would own it in a greater way. But from the year 2000 till now, it has gone down drastically because of people who are using time, resources, money, all the things to go, no, this matters, that there's unreached people groups. We're going to send laborers. You know, that's why Jesus says in Matthew 9, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into the harvest field. It's happening.
Yes.
It's happening. We are living, I feel like, in the hour of a beautiful sending movement, but I feel like it's kind of two-sided. There's this side of reaching unreached people groups,
yeah,
and saying, yes, we need to pray for this and send laborers. But then there's this other side of what does this look like day to day in our lives? Man, I love this question of, is everyone on mission for Jesus? I'm going to be honest with you. My short answer is yes. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are on mission, right? I understand some people have a missionary call overseas to unreached people groups, and that is to be championed, supported, and celebrated, right? But Jesus left his people, his disciples, with the Great Commission. So I actually believe something beautiful that God is doing in the body of Christ right now is reawakening our purpose in followers of Jesus and in carrying the Great Commission everywhere we go, which is go into all the earth, make disciples, baptizing in my name, right? And he says, and surely I will be with you to the end of the age.
Everybody is a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
That's
if you're a believer, no matter where you go, no matter what you are on mission,
yeah,
every day to the lowest, to the whoever. It does not matter that the field is the world, and it's taking what God's given us and giving it to the person who calls you on the phone, the sales marketer.
Yeah,
you know, hey, before you go, Jesus loves you. You
yeah,
know,
yeah,
just seeding the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
I think time is short, and so I might as well get busy about the Father's business.
Yeah.
So you were talking about how it's getting kind of cool to share your faith. Well, thank God it's about time, because
yeah,
I think everyone's feeling this angst and why not? We don't have anything to lose anymore. And so kind of all the things that seem like they're against us, it's actually for us. Mm-hmm. And it's to just get the word out however we can in any possible way.
Yeah. Because you notice, Paul, when you understand like what's happening in the church in Ephesus and all these different churches he's writing letters to, there is tremendous cultural pressure.
Yes.
In all these situations. Mm-hmm. But he is so just piercing through with the gospel. Passionate. That's what I see happening. And I'm like, oh, it's like the joy of our salvation is being restored to go. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of cultural pressure right now. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of opinions, cancel culture, you name it. It's like everything has ramped. Nothing new under the sun though, right? So it's like we as believers, we're like, oh, we've got a hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Though the nations rage, right? Mm-hmm. He who sits in heaven laughs. Yeah. And I go, this is our fuel for completing the mission, is that I'm driven by his love, not man's mandate or anything, but the very thing he left us with is go and make disciples. So
no
I just think it's a stirring. Yeah. It's a stirring right now.
Yeah. I love it.
I think so many people don't really know what that means or how to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, it seems like a big, daunting task.
Yes.
What am I supposed to do? Mm-hmm. But it's the little things that add up to big things. Mm-hmm. Each person doing their part. It's like you said, if, you know, you're talking on the telephone or God prompts you to do something. I answered the phone one day and I hear this voice and it was like, hello, is Becky there? And I was like, no, Becky? No, there's nobody. Okay. And I said, hang on a minute, just a minute. I said, are you okay? No, I'm not doing good. And I go, well, you know, what's going on with you? Oh, my mother's about to die. Mm-hmm. And I'm just here with her and I'm looking for my cousin Becky. And I'm sorry, I have the wrong number. I said, no, you really have the right number right now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I said, well, I'm going to pray for you and I'm going to pray for your mother. And she goes, she paused. It was just dead silence, you know. And so I began to pray, you know, that God knows what's going on with her mother and, you know, that she'd be able to get in touch and that he would lift this heavy spirit of oppression and blah, blah, blah. And at the end, she goes, you are my angel. Mm-hmm. I thought I was looking for Becky, but I found an angel, you know. And then I hung up the phone, but so easily could I have just said, no, Becky, nope, sorry, you got the wrong number. Yeah. Click.
Yep.
But I felt that unction of the Holy Spirit. This person is obviously hurting in some way. I felt an unction to say, are you okay? You know, what's going on? And so even as simple as something that...
See, it's people like you.
But it's not as daunting. Now, I would love to say I get up every day and I'm like, okay, God, who can I minister to today? I think after this, I'm going to be more like, God, make sure you just send one person.
Yes.
Even just one person across my path today. You know, God opens doors, and we don't want to not walk through a door that he has given us to love someone, to minister to someone. You have to make yourself available to God if you want to be used by God. So many times we desire for God to use us, but we're busy. We're running here, we're running there, we're taking the kids to school, we're cooking dinner, we're going to our jobs. We've got so many things to do, and time is a precious commodity. In fact, you can make more money, but you can't make more time. So time is precious to you, but time is also precious to God. And I believe when we take time to minister and love the people he puts in our path, that God will add more time to us. And what I mean is God can allow us to get more done in less time when we use our time wisely and we honor him with it.
And I do this often, like I'll be in the grocery store or somewhere and someone will pass and I'll feel compassion.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible talks about Jesus was moved with compassion. So when you feel this compassion towards someone that you don't even know, that's got their, you know, pushing their cart with their little girl beside them, or just there's something that would just feels, you feel compassion for them. I always just pray, Father, just help them in the name of Jesus, whatever it is they need right now, Father. God, you know, I don't know, but I lift them up to you in Jesus' name. You know, that is how Jesus was. He was led with compassion. And, and so there's a lot of different ways that we can minister life. Maybe the person doesn't even know. I didn't even walk up to that person. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I prayed for that person. Yeah. And I believe my prayers make a difference. Amen. God hears my prayers. Things happen when I pray. Yeah. And so I just think maybe if we'll help those who don't know how to exactly minister and do I have to have this whole salvation when I talk to this person? Mm-hmm. No, does the Bible talk about some people plant, some people water, and some people bring forth the harvest? Yes.
That's right.
You don't have to worry about what your part is. Just do your part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the disciples received the Holy Spirit from Jesus for what? To be his witnesses.
Yes.
That's what the gift of Holy Spirit does in us. It's evangelistic. It's missional. That's what the Spirit of God is doing. And I love that story because think about the woman at the well. She went there looking for water and she found salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that woman phoning up looking for Becky, but she found Jesus. Like all you had to do was just be a witness.
Yes.
You were anointed for it. You didn't see it coming. But you were anointed for it. You were available. You were sensitive to the Spirit. And you just testified in that moment. And that's so much more impacting than standing on a street corner and yelling out. You actually got right in her life, which is what we see Jesus did when he was on mission, getting in people's lives. Zacchaeus, I know about you.
Yeah.
Come sit at my table. Well, in fact, I'm inviting myself to your table.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about your life. I want to satisfy you. And then the sin stops. Because that missional spirit draws them to Jesus and draws them to transformation.
Wow.
So I love that.
He even met their physical needs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Meeting someone's physical needs is a way to minister Jesus.
Yes. Witness.
You know, that's just because it's what he did. He fed the people first before he, building a relationship with someone. Maybe it's a coworker.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, you know, you can help them pick them up and take them to work if their car's broken down. Bring them a Starbucks. Do something to meet that need to build that relationship so that God can continue to open the door, you know, to just be the light.
I was going to say, it's like even of reaching people and what's a first step. I always am reminded, Lord, you want to reach my neighbors, the unreached people groups, schools, universities, way more than I do.
Yeah.
You want these people, you want their needs met way more than I do. We just get to be the witnesses, the empty vessels that are, here, my Lord, send me. Mm-hmm. It's like, but everything we've been talking about leading up to this point is so crucial because like Isaiah, it says he saw the Lord high and lifted up. The train of his robe filled the temple. I'm like, oh, that's where I'm like, Jesus, I want to see you, know you. Because it's like, the more we know him, the more we're filled, then we have something to give.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then we have something to give to people. But I always remember, like, anytime you feel pressure, like, for anyone who, I love that question, like, what's a good next step? How do I just start somewhere?
Yeah.
You know, I always even start with, you want this more than I do, Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it's so simple. I think we try to make it so hard. Oh, God, if I do that, it's going to be, you know, and it's going to put us out somehow. Or be hard. It's not hard. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw.
Yep.
You don't have to push. You don't have to win an argument. You don't have to, you know, strive. Mm-hmm. You don't have to, you know, knock it out. You just lift Jesus up. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is the giver. He is the love that shines through. He is the one that just passes back the coupon to the next person. Here, you know. I don't know how many times I've done that. Every time I've done that, it has shocked somebody so bad. Like if you're at Target and you get a little coupon for the next time you come in, I just hand it back. People just freak out about that. Why are you doing that? And it's just those simple little things. Well, somebody just gave it to me to give to you, you know? And just that didn't cost me anything. That didn't, just those little tiny simple things that people, that just show a generous spirit, show people that, you know what, there are good people still.
Right.
Wow, somebody just gave me, you know, think about finding a $5 bill or a $100 bill, maybe somewhere you just, you know, news of the day was to find, but if you just handed somebody something like that, it just changes people's world.
I love that. Just to remind people there is still generosity.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
there's still kindness.
Yeah.
Because that's what this world needs. They need to be reminded that there is still good things happening.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When you said, oh, people are waking up, they're ready to share their faith. Well, that's encouraging because yeah. we know that the world doesn't want our faith shared. Mm-hmm. We know that there's forces that are trying to shut down people so that they won't share their faith. Mm-hmm. And so to even hear that, it's like, yeah, we need to say these things. We don't, you know, people say, oh, the church is just going down the tubes. No, the church isn't going down the tubes. The church is rising up. The mm-hmm. church is strong. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's the messages that we need to say, not what the news is saying,
right.
not what, you know, the critics right. are saying. We need to not parrot that. We need to say, no, God is alive and He is well.
Yes.
And working in the life of the believer, and the believer is working in the earth for God, you know? I mean, so it's just it's what are we saying about the church? What are we saying about believers? What are we saying about each other? What are we saying about our God?
How do we get started? Well, we love that Jesus often showed us an example of one. You know, there was the thousands, there was the hundreds, there was the 12, but then also Jesus stopped to minister to the ones. If you're feeling stirred, I would just say, look around you. You know, is there one neighbor that you are drawn to right now? Or is there a group of neighbors? Invite them over to your house. I think when people are invited into people's homes, it's so disarming. It's such a beautiful, deep invitation. And you can just use the gift of hospitality if you have it, or meet someone like, hey, do you want to come and kick a football? Or it doesn't have to be rocket science. And actually just look for who's in front of you. And there might be a coworker. You're like, something's not right. Well, take them to lunch. Follow that feeling from the Holy Spirit and pursue that connection. And maybe one will become three, will become 12, become hundreds. Maybe your calling will be to thousands. But I think the best place is always to follow the model of Jesus, which is also the value of one.
I feel like I want to hear from you. Like, you do so much with missions.
I do missions. And people tell me often, you know, oh, I'm not called to that. That's great for you. Like, you mm-hmm. couldn't be me. You know, that's you're a special person. And I'm like, no, we're all special. Mm-hmm. And actually, you can do missions in your area. Like, it doesn't always have to be you going across seas to help third world countries or whatever it is. It's in your home. You know, you're on mission at home, you're on mission at work,
that's right.
your mission, whatever you have, like you talked about cutting hair. And it's like, whatever God has equipped you with, that is your mission, to use that to glorify Him.
Yes.
And Victoria talked about how you'll be able to reach people that she can't, and that you'll be able to reach people that you can't. And it's like, we all... He created us differently for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he gave us different gifts and different talents and put us in different areas of the world for us to strategically help win over different people mm-hmm. that you may not be able to win, yeah. but that I could, and vice yeah. versa. And so it's like, when you get a full realization of that, you can really say, okay, God, these are the gifts that I have. This is the talent that you've given me. How can I use it?
Yeah.
You know, if I'm an actor, how can I bring you with me to set?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm a dancer, how can I bring you with me to rehearsal? If I'm a teacher and I can't pray in school, how can I show these children Jesus? You know, it's just... Yeah. It's just really sitting and getting to know Holy Spirit and to use the wisdom to be able to strategically show people Jesus the way that only you can.
Yeah.
And that's our mission.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think people think that you have to have all the answers. If
yeah.
I tell them that Jesus loves them, then they're going to have questions, and I'm not sure how to answer
yeah.
all of it. You know, but I'm so surprised, and I love YWAM. And I love their mission because I don't know if you've ever heard of Arthur Blessett, but he carried the cross around the world, and he's just one of our dearest friends. And I've been with him a lot as he walked down the road with a cross on his shoulder, and the ridicule and the people saying things to him have been beyond. And he was always just on a mission, didn't care, and would walk up to the hardest of hearted people and just say, man, I just want to tell you that Jesus loves you. And to see the reaction of people and to hear it over and over and over again of people going, dude, nobody has ever told me that. And I can't imagine that. I can't imagine somebody being 27 years old and never being told that Jesus loved him. That's the first time anyone has ever told me that. You know, and it's powerful. And if that's the littlest seed you plant, it will not return void, because someone will come and water that. Because they have now heard Jesus loves you, and you're talking to this, even if the person's on drugs or if they're not right, you can speak to the spirit of the person and they hear. So you talk to their spirits and just tell them you were created in the image of God and he loves you and he died for you. And that will resonate somehow to every person that you talk to.
Yeah.
But it's so important that we share our faith, I think, in just either through the kindness of God or through all those little acts of kindness that just turn people towards goodness. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord of good. We could just throw them some bread. Just give them, throw a bone to somebody and just seed something into their life of the goodness of God. And it'll be amazing, because then you'll hear a testimony down the road. Someone found me in the gutter. And all they said was, Jesus loves you, man. And it changed my life.
These times are so busy, so noisy. Everything, everybody is demanding. Your social media followers are demanding you post things. Your job is demanding you do things. Your family is demanding. You know, it just feels like so many different things going on. And I'm actually reading this book. It's called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And it's such a good book with just telling you to slow down, to intentionally slow down, so that we can be so precise when God wants us to stop and bless somebody else, to stop and disciple somebody else, to stop and pour into somebody else. Because what I find that when you're go, 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 and you're moving, like, in so many different directions, you can't even hear him say, like, stop and talk to this girl, tell her she's beautiful. Like, it's the little things, but if you're moving so fast and trying to fulfill all of these different things that really don't have to be priorities, first of all, prioritize. That's first. If you prioritize your life and you know what needs attention right now, then you can slow down. And when you do that, then you can be really more in tune with the voice of God, so that you won't miss the opportunity to disciple someone or to pour into someone's life and to show them how much God loves them, because he paused the noise just to let them know they were important enough to him for them to be seen in this moment, and for you to stop doing what you're doing, to pay them a compliment, to give them a word that blesses their life. Slow down. Prioritize, slow down, and don't miss the voice of God that you don't get to touch people the way that he needs them to be touched in order for them to flourish in the things of him.
Sometimes we hear Great Commission and we have our own picture or whatever. You have your own paradigm of what the Great Commission is. Whether I'm going to get on a plane and go to the Philippines for a week, right? But the Lord's like, hang on. Let me redefine.
You go next door.
It's
not that hard.
It's like letting the Holy Spirit redefine what the Great Commission is. Let's simplify this. Let's bring it back down to the basics. Because I still remember people who you know, Heidi Baker says, stop for the one. Mm-hmm. I remember being stopped for. I remember being in high school and there was like a youth leader who one time just asked like, how are you doing? And took me to lunch. And I'm like, when I was seriously pursuing the Lord, I remembered that. Yeah. I remembered someone caring. I remembered a Christian wanting, and I feel like so much when we want to overcomplicate it, one of the greatest tools we have in living the Great Commission is time. Yeah. You took time on that phone call. Mm-hmm. It would have been way more convenient to be like, wrong number, have a great day, you know, gathering women around your table. It's time. And we see this, Jesus, it's time. And I feel like, I don't know if you guys have experienced this, but I go, wow, it really, to me, gets down to where am I willing to give time to others and be outward focused and go, man, this life is short. And I have tasted and I've seen. And I also remember, this is so funny, when I first got saved, I was telling everyone. I mean, people didn't want to go places with me because I'd be like, you know, the waiter, the waitress, I'd be like, oh, God loves you so much. Can I pray for you?
Like that.
My mom would be like, yeah, I'm like, oh, you know, it's like, you know, I noticed like people are avoiding wanting to go to restaurants with me and stuff. I'm like, what? And everyone's like, you're such an evangelist. And I was like, okay. And obviously that's part of the fivefold gift, but I said, I really don't believe I'm the evangelist is part of my like fivefold gifting. I actually just am undone when I understood like what I got saved from. Cause like I told you when that the speaker was speaking in my school, I'm looking at everyone. I'm like, did you guys all know this? This is life changing. Like I will never be the same. I'm like, okay, you guys already knew this. Okay. Just no one told me. That's fine. Cool. And so that was kind of my paradigm of going, how many more girls are there in my walk of life who just no one ever told them?
Yeah.
You know, no one ever told
them. It's funny you say that because we had a friend call us one time and he was so upset. He's an older gentleman and he's been a friend for decades and decades. And he said, why haven't you guys ever told me about the Holy Spirit? And he was a Baptist man, you know, and huge in the Baptist faith. And he was like, have I wronged you? Have I done something that you wouldn't have told me about the Holy Spirit? And he was our elder, you know, and you talk about feeling, whoa, we should have told him about the Holy Spirit, you know?
You should have said we did. You just didn't listen.
So this friend of ours had gone through some pretty tough things, and we hooked him up to a prophet that we knew. Said, why don't you just reach out and speak to him? Well, I guess this prophet told him stuff that he had never told people. And he knew that it was the Lord and knew that that was the Holy Spirit. And he was definitely, he had a big question about why haven't you told me how powerful the Holy Spirit is and how he speaks and can speak today, you know. And so it was challenging for Matt and I. It was like, you know what, we should probably be a little more blunt with, especially with people going through a hard time. You think they know, you know, he was our elder and he was a minister. And so you kind of sometimes maybe think that you don't have much to say, but sometimes you do.
But the Bible tells us to compel them to come in. Mm-hmm. Go to the highways and into the byways and compel them. Mm-hmm. Tell them. And when you get hooked up in places like you've gone with YWAM and these beautiful missions trips, and there's a why not tell them?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Of course you would tell them, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing.
Get the latest Better Together news delivered straight to your inbox. Visit bettertogether.tv to sign up now.
I remember when I was younger, you know, I'd hear these testimonies and it would be like, oh, I want a testimony like that. I don't have that kind of testimony. You know, and you'd hear that you'd think, well, I don't have a good enough testimony. You know, nothing like that ever happened to me, you know? And I think that sometimes people can get stuck in that. Like you talk about hearing these tremendous testimonies, but you know, just the person down the street may not have this testimony of how God swooped in and did this, or they were on their deathbed. And, you know, and I was talking to a guy the other day, and he stopped us and was saying something to us. And he said, this was me. I was in the bed, and it had this picture. It was terrible. He said, I was bleeding from the inside out because I took a med that the doctors prescribed, some sulfur, and it was reacting to his body and everything. And I mean, he's got an amazing testimony he can share, right? I mean, you know, but sometimes people think, I don't have a good enough testimony. Oh no, I wasn't, you know, penniless or fatherless or, you know, all these things. But I think it's what we've been talking about. It's that you have a testimony because you have Jesus.
Yes. Yep.
You know, and just there's always something God has done in your life. You know, you can think always of something. And so I think it's a myth to have a big testimony or some grand testimony to have something to say.
Now think about how bizarre it is that you never were drunk or on drugs, or I mean, that's a real testimony nowadays.
But had you ever felt that way? Oh, because sure. It used to be everybody had these amazing testimonies.
This moment and like people testifying, you're like, I've got to go next, and this is going to sound like level two.
I was like, Lord, give me something.
Yes, but we all, like, we can all be witnesses because of the story of Jesus. And many people are questioning, was he mad? Was he bad? Was it? He said, no, he is your savior. He came to save you. And I think about social media. I think about all the buttons. You know, when you look on someone's profile, you find out all about their life, but you miss the testimony. And I'm like, wouldn't it be amazing to create a button that's somewhere up there and you just press it and it just tells your testimony. And anyone can access that story of God through going on your profile. You know, they look at your lives. Oh my gosh, look at all the things they're doing. But they get to hear us being witnesses and saying, can I tell you about the moment I met Jesus? Or can I tell you about something that Jesus did for someone I saw with my own eyes? To make that part of our platform and our profile would make the gospel so much more accessible for people. Whereas social media can be show and tell, which is beautiful, showing and telling, like, look what's going on, but there's more. How can we incorporate the message of Jesus? And
John 3:16 is just dynamic, gigantic, life-changing. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son. You know, you don't have to come to that table of salvation with a crazy story of being a gangster or being this or being that. That story that God has done for us is enough. It's life-changing. It's gigantic. It's incredible. And you get invited into that story. So even if it's just growing up, going to church your whole life, and you can't even maybe even pinpoint it, but at some point you said, I want that God to be my Lord and Savior, then that is enough. You've been invited into that global, gigantic love story. So just start there. Instead of trying to make something that isn't there, make much of that story of God sending Jesus and meditate on that and magnify that. And that takes so much pressure off. And it's the same. It doesn't matter what you've been saved from. We've all sinned and fallen short and been invited into this grace story because of the cross of Jesus Christ.
A lot of times wanting somebody else's testimony or wanting to minister to people the way that they are, it's like we miss out on what Jesus is trying to do with our testimony and reaching the people that we have been assigned to. And I feel like each of us are graced for the race that we're supposed to run. And sometimes when you try to get in someone else's race, you lose a group of people who, you know, your story was created to help them. And because you're so busy focusing on how you want to be the married person to win over the group of people who need help in their marriage, you miss out on how great your testimony as a mom is to be able to help the group of people who need help with mothering. And it puts us like in a place where then we try to, especially with social media, we see all the pictures of the families, and now all of a sudden you're showing everything you and your husband are doing together. And it's like, the moms are assigned to you, baby. Show your kids.
Yeah.
You know, show how you are with your kids. That's her race. Yeah. Let her show, you know, and it's like, we miss out on, we're all trying to be the same piece of the puzzle. We don't create the whole picture. And it's like, we were created different. Like, we are all of these pieces in this puzzle box to be able to come together to show, like, just how great God is, for people to see the full picture. And when we focus on what someone else is doing or the race that they're running, we miss out. Like, we cause there to be a missing piece of the puzzle. And it's like, if people could just see, like, you were assigned, like, you are on mission. Like, no, you probably can't do what I do. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to. But that doesn't make you any less than.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, we're all on mission. We all have a job to fulfill. Yeah. But now, if you do try to jump out here and you're out in some of the conditions that I have to live in when I do missions, your body is not even designed for that. You know, you're not supposed to be here. God put this in me for me to run this race, my race, for a group of people, and what is yours?
Yeah.
And so it just can be so dangerous. Social media can just be so dangerous. Like, the testimonies are great, but when we focus on what other people are doing, we see all of the likes that they get because, oh, they're talking about this. Yes. Well, let me figure out a way to talk about this so I can get these likes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it. Go back to God. Go back to the Word. Figure out why you are the way that you are, why you were created the way that you were created, why you are the color that you are, why you have the talents and the skills and the abilities that you have, why you were brought up the way that you were brought up and the different experiences that you have. And ask God, okay, why am I, or why have I had what I had, or why have certain people been in my life, or why am I able to do these things? And then God, okay, how is it that you want to use me to reach the people who you have called me to reach?
When Jesus left the earth, the last thing he told us to do was to go out and spread the good news of what he had just done. And that's the Great Commission, to make disciples out of all nations, to let people know that Jesus came to bring you life and life more abundantly, that there's no condemnation in him, that he has redeemed our relationship with God the Father. And it's not a difficult task, and it's not something that's daunting. It's just letting your light shine. It's just giving your testimony. It's telling about the goodness of God. It's raising your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. It's loving your husband. It's being a good co-worker. It's just living a life of love. And that's the Great Commission.
Common thread is like this reminder that I can't reach the people you've been called to reach. And you can't reach the people, Linda can, but together we can be the witnesses.
Yes.
And we don't have to worry about what anyone else is doing. We just cheer each other on.
Yes.
Like, we are being cheered on, like in that beautiful picture in Hebrews 11. Like, what a picture that we are being cheered on to be exactly who God called us to be. Mm-hmm. No one else, but no one less.
Yeah.
And being confident in that and going, I love what you're doing. And look, like you say, the piece of the puzzle is essentially the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We're just being the body. Yeah. And I don't have to apologize or try to be anyone else. And that's such an important part of being witnesses, is going, no one else can tell it like you can.
Mm-hmm.
Or go into the arena God's called you, whether it's visible or invisible. It is seen by God.
Yes.
And going back to what you said again, you are anointed by God to do it. I got a friend, she's in the hair and makeup industry. She's hidden, but my goodness, she's anointed.
Yes.
She's touching people's face. She's getting up in their lives. She's sharing Jesus with them. I'm like, I can't be her. She can't be me. Isn't this beautiful what God's doing? So that nobody is left behind hearing the gospel. And then Jesus will come back.
Yeah,
and that is a beautiful place to land, right?
That is a beautiful place to land. And I like, before we pray, I was just even thinking this phrase. I remember it thundered in my heart. I had texted it to you and I ended up writing a song around it. But it's for the everyday follower of Jesus of, you know, I've seen so many services where it's like, we're going to pray for you to get commissioned. Mm-hmm. And that's right. That's beautiful. I've been a part of so many of those, you know, and it's such a powerful moment to emphasize that. But the truth is, you know, when you see the Great Commission in the Gospels, I love how Jesus says it in the book of John, because it's not the same as Matthew and Mark. Mm-hmm. It's, as the Father sent me, so I am sending you. Mm-hmm. It's so simple. Mm-hmm. And for God so loved the world, he sent his only son. Mm-hmm. So Jesus is saying, as the Father sent me in love, mm-hmm. I am sending you to go in love. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. It's that simple. So we've all been given permission through the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. And that phrase, it just rung in my heart. I went, oh, that's it. Because sometimes I can think, oh, I need the right person to pray for me. And of course, we value the laying on of hands, but it's the Holy Spirit. Right. It's the words of Jesus. Yeah. It's like what he said. Yeah. And when you go like so much, you know, we talked about this with the Father heart of knowing who God says we are as his children, and literally like get that scripture in you. It'll change your life. You know, in the same way, it's like, get these words he left us with in us. Like, I feel like I'm hungering for that to understand the simplicity of all this more, the simplicity of Jesus being our testimony, the simplicity of knowing how do we just simply share our faith? What does that look like day to day? But then also taking on the, I feel like the prayer and the yearning that people who've never heard the name of Jesus would hear the name of Jesus. Because I often think some people, no one's just ever told them.
No one's told.
No one's told them.
Isn't that crazy?
And I'm like, oh, I want to have this conversation in my living room and around tables of like, man, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's like a couple years ago, we went on, we have TB in UK. Now, we went into 19 million homes that have never had Christian television. Wow. And it just did just wreck me because I thought, my goodness, we're so spoiled in America. You know, we have all these, you know, churches on every corner and so much Christian, beautiful television and everything. And now we're going into 19 million homes that have never heard or someone said Jesus loves you on that network. And it, stuff like that just creams me, but we all have a mic.
Makes it hard to believe, doesn't
we
it?
It's all
hard
have
to believe
a mic.
But everybody hadn't heard about Jesus when you're in America.
No, I know it. And we need to share.
Yeah.
We need to speak. We need to give our testimonies.
Yes.
We need to tell them what Jesus did for me.
The Great Commission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. If we all do that, it's a simple thing. If we all stay in our lane, if we all do what we're called to do, it can be accomplished. We can make disciples of all nations. That's what I love about TBN. Everywhere you have cell service, everywhere you can take your phone, you can see TBN. And so that is part of the Great Commission. So we do what we do, you do what you do, you do what God's called you to do. You step out, you give your testimony, you share Jesus's love all around you, and we can do what God has told us to do. What Jesus's last words, go ye now into all the world.
One time someone asked me, like, how many unreached people group do you think there, like, how many are there? And I had written this down. I do want to read this because I'm like, this is pretty fascinating. The year 2000, there was 3,158 remaining unreached people groups. Today, there are 144.
Praise God.
Wow. And I'm just like, that should encourage the church. Yeah. That should cause us to go, wow, we are praying Matthew 9 and it's working. That Jesus saw the crowds. Wow. He had compassion on the crowds. But then he prayed to the Lord of the harvest, would you send out laborers into the harvest field? So Lord, that's what we're asking, is for that compassion from Matthew 9 to grip our hearts. And Lord, that we would see like you see. It says you saw the crowds, had compassion, then you prayed to the Lord of the harvest. So Lord, even to close this, we pray to the Lord of the harvest that you would send out laborers. Lord, and those who are watching, and for us sitting here together, Holy Spirit, we thank you that you have commissioned us, that you've given us permission through the Great Commission. We just honor and love you, Jesus. Amen.